Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So Donald Trump signed an executive order. Yes, another executive order. Remember when he was against executive orders? Remember when that Obama guy used to sign an occasional executive order and Trump would lose his ever-loving freaking mind and all the Trumpkins and all the Republicans would go do backflips and freak out? Remember that? Evidently, they've missed it because he signed a ton of them. But today, executive order on telehealth. Now, I guess this is, if you remember 2 weeks ago, he said that he was going to come out with this great healthcare plan. It was going to be beautiful. Evidently, telehealth is what it is. In fact, he says that they vastly expanded coverage for Medicare to cover more than 135 new services through telehealth. All you folks who have Medicare, you will get it with no additional costs and possibly waived copays. For the rest of us, you're on your own still. Nothing in the executive order for those of us who have lost our insurance, the 50 million people who are now out of work and without insurance. And here to share some thoughts on being one of those, I've asked Javier Muñez to come talk with us. He's actually Alexander Hamilton in the play Hamilton. He's a Broadway actor and, well, unfortunately, unemployed. Javier, thanks for taking time for us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So we're in this moment, Javier, where, you know, Broadway's basically shut down. Folks like you are completely unemployed. This is horrible.
Well, it's sort of more than horrible. It's also terrifying. It's unprecedented. You know, there's been moments in our lives and our existence where we've met plagues and pandemics before. But this right now, without plans being made, with I feel like everyone, including our government, is on defense, not offense, right? We're not thinking 3 months, 6 months, a year down the line. And if we are, it's just not enough. It's just not enough being done to create safety nets collectively that we can all truly turn to and rely on. And so we're taxing all of our resources.
No, you're absolutely right. But here's the thing. How can you have a plan 3, 6, 9 months down the road when you have an administration that's still stuck on yesterday's ratings? That's, you know, fixated on, you know, on the ratings that he gets from a tweet or the number of retweets. How do you have that kind of vision and foresight? And, you know, when I was thinking about talking with you today, you know, obviously you were Alexander Hamilton and did an amazing job in that role. You know, I can't help but think, what did the founding fathers, what would Alexander Hamilton think of a Donald Trump? What would he think to the response of the government that he helped to create to allow this kind of mass suffering and pain?
I think our founding fathers are very clear about avoiding a situation like this and a leader like this and an administration like this. I think that's in our first year under this administration, I could not be on Twitter without finding endless references to Hamilton quotes or finding founding father quotes referring to exactly what we were living under now, you know, and these quotes being contrary to that what this is not what was intended, but here we are. And so, you know, I can only look back so much. My energy personally needs to keep moving forward, keep looking forward, keep thinking about how we're going to survive this, because we need each other to do that.
Absolutely.
We need the dialogues to do that. We need the discourse to do that. And we have to keep creating that.
Now, here's the problem for you. You're a cancer survivor, HIV positive. You've got health concerns like a lot of people, pre-existing conditions, all of those things. Yes. You're losing your health insurance because there's no work. We have an employer-based system where if you're not working, if you don't have a job, your health care goes away. What does it mean for Javier Muñez if his health care goes away with pre-existing conditions and all of the challenges that you have? That's got to be frightening and terrifying, and, you know, throw the word in there as well. That's got to be a horrible situation for you.
You nailed the word. It's terrifying. It's absolutely 100% terrifying. I've been in situations that were dire before, but I've never been in this situation. There's always been work to at least turn to, whether it was within my industry or not. There's always been aspects, prospects, other things I could put my energy towards. That's not the case right now. The amount of jobs that are available for people in either theater, film, or TV are so few And there's thousands of us who are vying for these handful of jobs that are coming across. So obviously, thousands of us are not going to get those jobs. And we are in a system that our work determines our eligibility for coverage. And listen, I am grateful for the fact that my quarterly payments through Actors Equity are so low that I can afford them. I'm so grateful for the coverage that SAG-AFTRA gives me. But without employment at this point, I can't afford those COBRA plans once my plans expire,
right,
once my coverage is done. And so for someone like me and lots of other artists, you know, there are other artists who've been able to sort of have multi-talents. They've invested in their training and conservatory as artists, but they've also had some job on the side or some skill on the side. I'm not one of those people. And there's a lot of people like me who put all of our energy into this one goal, in this one ambition, in this one art form, this one side of the industry.
Right.
And so right now it means a major pivot. It means truly deciding, do I leave this industry? What is available to me? Do I leave New York? Do I have to move in with family? You know, do I have to start having conversations about my partner going back to hit where he's from and me finding someplace else? Like, you know, these are major conversations happening, and I have chronic illness. So I need medication daily. How do I afford my prescription plans? These systems that have been my lifeline, I fall right in the crack, right? Where I made too much to qualify to be eligible for
Medicaid or any assistance.
Well, the plans that were, I'm trying to find the right word. I'm so sorry.
The Affordable Care Act plans or any of those.
Exactly. All these plans that were there to help support me in the past, I've made too much money, right, to be eligible for them. But I've not made enough money to be able to afford the COBRA monthly plans for either AEA or SAG-AFTRA. So I fall right in the middle where I literally I'm juggling every single day what's coming in, what's not coming in. Who can I turn to right now? Who can I turn to for the next prescription refill? Where can I turn for my next doctor's visit? Who's going to help me pay for that? Because let's be honest, we all know what the cost of just a regular doctor visit is, let alone specialty blood tests like I would need. So, you know, these are terrifying circumstances. And I have seen both my unions fighting so much on behalf of us, doing all they can to plan ahead to try and bring business back into being. But let's be realistic. How many folks come 2021 are going to have the money to afford a ticket to go to see a show?
Sure.
How many folks are going to feel safe walking into a theater and doing a three-hour show? That many. We're not going to be selling at capacity. So we really have to start, yes, to make up for that. What are the means? And I'm not a wizard. I can't come up with all the things myself, but I know the organizations I'm trying to help, my unions I'm trying to help, you know, I continuously say to folks who are so generous, there are who still have within their capacity the means to donate. And whenever they reach out to me on Twitter, on Instagram, I say the Actors Fund. Give to the Actors Fund. Our entire industry is relying now on that one source. And our unions are fighting for us the best they can. But if you want to really help us out so that we can come back and we can survive, that's the best way to help.
Yeah. And but here's the thing, and this is the scary part of this as well. You're Alexander Hamilton. You were on, you know, I mean, and I don't mean this lightly. Hamilton, for those of us who aren't Broadway fans or you've never seen a Broadway show, is the, when you think of Broadway, it's right now it's Hamilton. So if
yes.
Javier Muñez, Alexander Hamilton, is struggling, if he's worried about healthcare, if he's worried about keeping a roof over his head and food on the table, what's the guy who was behind the scenes doing the sets? What's the person who was taking the tickets? What's the person who was cleaning the auditoriums? What are those people doing as well? So it's not just you. And look, you're in a horrible, terrible spot. But it's all of those other people too who don't have the platform and the ability to come out and say, look, hey, look at me and hear my story. So, you know, I thank you for doing that. Thank you for coming out. But, you know, this is enormous. So I guess the question I have is, what can we do about it? You know, if you remember during the CARES Act, you had, you know, people freaking out when there was a little bit of money for the Kennedy Center to keep those folks employed. You know, what's the answer to help actors like you and Broadway and you know, people who, the 50 million of us who have lost jobs and lost insurance? What do we do?
Well, again, I can only say that, like, I'm an artist, and I can just speak from my experience, and I agree with you that it is the entire industry, and it extends to every just human being outside of this industry. But within this industry, the Actors Fund covers ushers, radio, opera, our ticket takers, our crew, our artists, our music, like everyone in this industry can turn to the Actors Fund for help. And that's really the main source that I keep encouraging people to give to. But honestly, I think realistically, everyone needs to take this seriously. You know, I don't want levity to leave our lives. I don't want us to not find moments of joy, our mental health, our emotional health, our getting sunshine, our laughter. But we have to really all be taking this life and death seriously. We have to be coming together and reading the information and being on top of our representatives and making sure we're on top of what's about to go to vote. The HEROES Act about to go to vote. And there is a clause in there that specifically speaks to this in our industry. Like, their research, read, know what's happening. You need to cast your political, what phone calls, what emails to send. These things matter. These things more than matter right now. And again, you can go to, let's say, you can go to Greenpeace. You can find information on their website. You can go to the Actors Fund, find information on their site. You can go to GMHC, find information on their site. You can go to BCEFA, find information on their site. There are so many websites right now that are carrying ways that you can use your voice as an individual to send the email, make the phone call, reach your rep. And then on top, aside from all that action, is just the one-to-one human being interaction. Help each other. That's the best way through this. Keep listening to each other. Keep making sure that we're not doing our best to not leave people behind. You know, I see a lot of folks out there speaking on health insurance, but forgetting and leaving out people with chronic illnesses. And we're easily forgotten. We really are. And I get it, but I don't like it.
Right? No, we all
and
look.
It should be,
look,
the way it is.
Half the country has a pre-existing condition, just about. We've got an administration that's doing everything that they can do. We've got an administration right now that's trying to take health care from people. They're trying to do everything they can to destroy that. And if I were you, you know, given your history,
right,
given your ailments and your challenges, I would be, you know, I'd be absolutely terrified.
Honestly, it's true. We have a system that is not about, I mean, on top of the conversation about having, that we are having, that is being had right now about extending unemployment benefits, which should happen. On top of that should be the conversation about creating a system of healthcare for all of us, extending benefit limits. We are in a global pandemic. This is an unprecedented time. It means we have to find solutions that are unprecedented. We have to start breaking the box and breaking the walls and reaching further, having conversations that reach further than what we've known. That's the way it has to happen, because we are at a time that is absolutely unprecedented. Unprecedented need right now. And we're not even in the fall,
right,
when thousands more will lose insurance. We're not even in the fall when freelancers who could afford an ACA plan will no longer be able to afford those premiums. We're at a time where folks are going to turn to Medicaid in the thousands and tax that system. We have to think outside of the box the way this pandemic has brought us. It's brought us to this point.
No, and you know, earlier I had talked with our friend Pedro da Costa, who said, you know, there's an opportunity here. You know, it's bad, but if you look at it from a positive point of view, there's an opportunity to reimagine what the future economy looks like. There's an opportunity to reimagine what healthcare for future generations looks like. And I'll tell you, you know, I share his optimism that the coming of age generation right now seems to get it, where, you know, my generation screwed it up. And, you know, the millennials, they maybe tried. But I really have great hope for the next generation of folks who aren't going to put up with the stuff their parents put up with, aren't going to put up with, you know, not having insurance and fearing homelessness and all the things that we've already talked about.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. I have to say that I see the actions of our absolute youngest generation, and I mean like our preteens and our early teens, who are involved in ways. I was 17 when I finally woke up to activism and became an activist. I'm talking, these kids are younger than that, and they're active and they see it. And I agree with you, there is hope in that. I mean, right now, however, I think, I want to find the right way to say this. I feel we have, adding on to the opportunity that you were just speaking of, the gift we have right now, see things as they are, to really unmask every aspect, put light into every corner of each system, because our systems are broken. Let's really, really look at them. Let's lay it on the table. And let's rework this, because we have no choice. We've already lost how many? You know, this is life and death. So let's scratch it. Let's take apart each thing, and let's freaking save each other, because we have to. We literally have each other, and that's it.
And that is it. That's a really good place to leave this. I'm right there with you, Javier. I wish you the best. I hope we get through this. Ultimately, yes. It's going to come down to that vote in November, and you know, as a country, so important. But yes, I appreciate your time. I wish you the best, and I hope you'll come back and talk with us again.
Thank you for having me. All the best.
Good stuff. Thank you so much, Javier Muñez, or I should say Alexander Hamilton. Thank you. And again, it makes you wonder, what would Alexander do? Love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.